Welcome back to Coffee with Yvonne, a show for creatives and entrepreneurs. Happy holidays, y'all. At the time of this episode dropping, it is really the week before Christmas. And at this point, what y'all gonna do? What y'all gonna do? Because I've checked Amazon, and if you don't get your stuff in by at least, I would say Wednesday, I think all hope is lost at getting it to your door. Now, let's not forget, cash works for everybody. So if you don't have your gifts together, Cash App, Venmo, Zelle, all the things do work. But I hope you're having a great holiday season, getting all the Christmas movies in and spending time with the family, those you choose to and those you block. I've been watching a lot of movies on Lifetime. You know I love to support the culture. But Lifetime movies are my favorite. No shade to the Hallmark girlies. I am a Lifetime movie girly. Now, Prime has been stepping its game up, but to tell the truth, the holiday movies haven't been hollying the way they used to holiday. So I've been a little disappointed at the schedule that has rolled out this year, but nonetheless, me and my Baileys and my hot cocoa have been keeping me happy and delighted. Anyway, I have another great show for you today. Joining me on this episode, I have one of my favorite multi-hyphenates, creative Jamie Rucker. We're going to be chatting all about plus size fashion, inclusivity, and impact. This is a conversation that really needs to happen because I think we forget the plus size industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. And there has been, and we'll talk about it a bit more during the episode, but there has been a tapering off of inclusion of plus size bodies on the runway, male and female and non-binary. And we've seen this trickle down effect in which there was such a big explosion in store. And now you can barely find a rack in the back of the store next to the clearance section for clothes for plus size bodies. But we'll get into that part in the conversation later on in the episode. For now, we got to do our What's the Brew segment. And I got good things today. I'm actually very excited. Nothing messy. We're going to keep it positive for Santa because I do want to make his nice list. So grab your coffee and let's chat. First up in our first story, let's see. On Variety. So, Kevin on Stage, I don't know if you guys know who that is, but Kevin on Stage, he is a social media star, really comedian, who's been in the game for quite a while. Variety has recently announced that Friday Night Vibes revival will return to TBS with Nina Parker. Nina Parker is a journalist, a fashion designer who has her Nina Parker collection that's carried at Macy's. And this is really great because you have two people who have grown in the industry for the impact in the culture. Comedian Kevin Fredericks with Kev on Stage through his podcast and his own production company. Then you have Nina Parker, who has really grown as a commentator, both with, I believe, E! News Network and then with her fashion line and her own personal platforms. So to have something like this brought back to TV, especially during a time period in which a lot of us watch things on streaming services. But according to Variety, new host Nina Parker and Kevin Fredericks, Tiffany Haddish, full transparency, previously hosted a series with fellow comedian Dion Cole. The weekend movie program will kick off with a double feature selection starring Black Panther and followed by King Richard, Will Smith's movie. Filmed at the Gathering Spot in L.A., West Adams neighborhood, film fans can join Parker and Fredericks in the audience each week, where they'll be joined by surprise guests and conversations about the film. Future episodes will spotlight acclaimed dramas 21 Bridges, Creed 2, High Octane Adventures, Tenet, White House Down, Angel Has Fallen, and Deja Vu, to name a few. One of the best parts of the movie watching experience is getting to talk with your friends about your favorite actors, the best lines, and the biggest action scenes and more, said Jason Solarnis, president Turner Networks. With Friday Night Vibes, we're creating that experience with brilliant and hilarious Nina Parker and Kevin Fredericks, whose wealth of pop culture and film knowledge, mixed with their amazing charisma and humor, will create a fun and lively watch-along experience for fans every month. I love this. Again, we are giving people who have actual talent in the industry and who have put in the work an opportunity to build their platform and also to be introduced to audiences that may not be familiar with them, because these folks, to be honest, y'all, are predominantly known through Black and Brown cultures. And a lot of times, you know, in order to be considered famous, you had to be famous in various reaches. You had to be known by not just your work, but people just recognizing you by name. For example, the Will Smiths of the world, Denzel Washington's, the Beyoncé's, they're not just Black or Brown famous, they're everybody famous. So having a show like this will give Nina Parker and Kev on Stage, or Kevin Fredericks as he is known, a chance to expand their reach, their audience, and also get the money. In our next story, let's see what we have. Oprah! Oh yeah, we gotta talk about her. I love me some Oprah. Okay, according to the Smithsonian website for the National Portrait Gallery, Oprah, you get a car, you get a car, everybody gets a car. Oprah Winfrey, they displayed the commissioned portrait of Oprah Winfrey on December 13th. Her portrait is now displayed at the Smithsonian's National Portrait Gallery by Chicago-based author, Sean Michael Warren, painted Winfrey in a purple taffeta dress amidst a lush garden in her California home. And also, they did not mention this in the article, but you know, your girl does the research. Guess who designed the dress, y'all? Christian Siriano, Maryland native and winner of Project Runway and now mentor on the same show in which he won. Okay, the full-length 70-316 by 56 1/8 portrait commissioned for the museum's permanent collection, which she ain't temporary, she gonna be there, will be on view on the museum's first floor beginning December 13th. As a global media leader, philanthropist, producer, actor, author, and entrepreneur, Winfrey has made significant contributions to American pop culture, which has earned her a place in the National Portrait Gallery. This was revealed by an invitation-only event. A few of the creatives I follow went to the event. Hi, Danny. She went. A few other people I'm familiar with as well. And it was just a great thing to see someone like her who's been putting in the work for decades, y'all. I remember watching Oprah. Oh my gosh, I'm a late 80s baby born, 90s raised. You do the math. But I remember watching Oprah when I would come home from school and seeing her on TV. One, seeing a woman who was plus size, that was very highly scrutinized back then, by the way, and still is. Someone who was plus size. Someone who was a darker skin tone, someone who wasn't considered conventionally pretty for the media then. That was so powerful to see Oprah build her own platform through her own talent. And low key, high key, it also inspired me as well. I would have to say that my personality on media platforms is definitely a mix of the Oprah with a sprinkle of the Wendy Williams with a little bit of the Gail and a few other content creators I admire, including Amanda Seales for her raw transparency. And what I love about this is generations can see this impactful Black woman who truly, truly pulled herself up by her bootstraps with no laces, become a multi-hyphenate impactful global entrepreneur and billionaire by her own right. So when you have a chance, if you're not here in the DMV area, make sure when you come back during tour season, we know y'all coming, we already ready, but when you come back during tour season, make sure to stop by the National Portrait Gallery to check out Oprah's portrait on the first floor. I also believe that is the same museum where Obama and First Lady, I think First Lady Michelle Obama is in that museum as well. So you might as well go visit everybody when you go to the National Portrait Gallery. And the Color Purple movie is coming out very soon on Thanksgiving. What holiday is it? Christmas. Mm-hmm. The movie is coming out on Christmas Day, so maybe you can make it a thing with the family. Get dressed up in your purple the day before. Go snap a photo with Oprah. And then go see the Color Purple movie only in theaters on December 25th. This is not an ad, though it sounds like one. Okay, as I mentioned, I have my creative boo and multi-hyphenate joining me, Jamie Rucker. Jamie is someone that I have known pre-pandemic when, oh my goodness, I can't even tell you the years now. It's been a while. But we met each other through our mutual boo, Bianca I've known since high school, and Bianca met Jamie and Shayla, who she's one half of Plus of the DMV with Jamie. We met at an Eloquy event, I believe so. But ever since then, it's always been vibes on vibes and supporting each other. Jamie, since meeting at that event, she has evolved her platform, including Plus in the DMV, to create her own platform with her podcast. First, it was Adjust Your Crown, but she has pivoted into a new venture with Fashion Maybe, with open and honest discussions with other creatives in the industry about the impact of fashion, things about wellness, you know, things dealing with also your mental health, discussions that we should be having more within our creative communities. So I want you to get into this episode, this very fun episode, and pull out your notes on your iPhone or whatever you're using to take notes, because you're going to want to capture some of these things and gems that were dropped during this episode. But get into it with my boo, Jamie Rucker. All we had back then were bathroom photos. There were no perfect lightings, tripods, and all this other stuff. You just pulled up to the bathroom and said, "Oh, I'm cute," click, and dipped.
No installations. There were no IG moment wall. There were no grass walls. There were no floral walls. We had the bathroom.
And it was carrying us, and it carried us through, and she is coming right back around with them bathroom pictures, because ain't nobody got time to be setting up a tripod in the middle of our lunch break to record content. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But anyway, everyone, I just want you to know that I have another special guest on my platform, and I just, again, the people who roll in my creative circle, like, they're one of one. They're number one. They're the only one. Today, who I have on my show is Miss Jamie Rucker. She is half of Plus in the DMV, but she also has her own platform, Fashion Maybe. And she has been a content creator for quite some time and has, in my opinion, set the standard for the DMV Plusy girlies on what content should look like on your platform and in creating inclusive messages around fashion. Before we get into the questions that I have for her, I had to trim down a lot of them because I was trying to be professional but not shady, because the Lord is working on me. Anyway.
You are my people. You are my people. You are my people.
I'm going to read her bio and then we'll get into these questions. And we might sprinkle for a little razzle dazzle, Jamie, some extra ones in there, okay? The founder and CEO of Fashion Maybe, Jamie Rucker, blends her remarkable creative vision, conversational savvy, and over 10 years of industry experience to result in an iconic platform that offers realistic and attainable style advice to everyday women. A champion of sisterhood, Jamie uses her signature aesthetic of faith, fashion, and female empowerment to passionately build community through transparent, honest storytelling on her podcast, Adjust Your Crown. Through her platform, she provides women with the tools and space they need to unlock a life of deserving abundance, unapologetically breaking through their limiting beliefs about themselves, their bodies, and their styles. Rucker's life work is driven by her passion for connecting others to their full selves inside and out. She strives to be a testament, amen, that if you stay authentic in your journey, you get everything assigned to you. Won't he do it? Won't he will. Encouraging women by creation alone and not by circumstance. And with that being said, welcome to Coffee with Yvonne, Jamie. Burr, 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 burr. Hey, boo.
Thank you, boo. I'm happy to be here and excited to chit chat with you for some good girl talk.
Yes. And, you know, we're going to be talking about today, and I know I shared this in the beginning of the episode, but the plus side of fashion, style, influence, and impact. And many of you may or may not know, if you follow me on my personal social platforms, I'm a curvy girl. My thighs touch. They've been doing it since I was 12. So period. As a curvy girl, you know, we are going to have an engaging conversation around this topic. And hopefully you'll walk away with some great information to use for building your wardrobe and elevating your style. All right, let's get into it. In my broadcaster voice. Jamie.
I love it.
Jamie, as a body inclusive content creator, you and my boo Shayla have been putting in the work for years building your platforms. What inspired you to enter the space?
So shout out to my boo Shayla, my forever co-host. So funny enough, Shayla and I both had our own individual fashion platforms. Mine is Fashion Maybe. Shayla's is The Vain Life. And for me with Fashion Maybe, I came into the space looking to upgrade my style. I had reached a point where I was like looking around at other women and I'm like, I like how they look so pulled together and polished. And I wanted to find that for myself in a version that worked for me. At the time, well, still, I'm a football mom. So I'm just like, I see the girls walking around in the high heels and tiptoeing. And I'm just like, for me, that's not functional. So for me, I wanted to find a style that fit my curves, fit my lifestyle as a mom and specifically a football mom, but also fit my budget because, again, I'm a mom and a single mom at that. So, you know, we got to wait. we've got other expenses that we need to consider too. So that was kind of where I came into it. And then I bumped into my good, good girlfriend, Shayla, at a fashion show. And funny enough, those that don't know, Shayla and I have been friends since high school. So I've known her forever. And so we both found ourselves, I say randomly, but nothing about it was random to me. But we both found ourselves at this fashion show, both looking for some of the same things, looking for community, looking for what fashion was for DC. Like, you know, every city has their own kind of vibe and their own kind of style. So we were looking for that. And we were looking for designers, like cut and sew designers. We're not talking about like, no shade to boutiques, because I love a boutique. I shop a boutique. But we're looking for people that are cutting and sewing, making plus size clothing that we could amplify and support. So after having a couple conversations, we were both like, let's create the change we want to see. Because if we're looking for it, somebody else is looking for it too. So that's kind of how everything kicked off.
And I love that you are working with someone who you have real history with. I think sometimes when people come together to do a mutual platform, you know, it's based on common interests, but it doesn't have any history and it falls apart very quickly. Mm-hmm. I have experienced that more than once myself, working with other creatives in different spaces in which we collab and then the vibes don't vibe the way you thought they were vibing and it goes its separate way. But by you having history with someone who is a close friend, you're able to create authentically and that authenticity resonates through your followers. So I love that for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I tell people all the time, Shayla and I are friends in real life. Like our platform when we came together to do Plus in the DMV was simply us opening up the chat. We were having these conversations anyway. So we just wanted to open up the chat to welcome in other folks that were looking for something similar. So absolutely.
Love that. And you talked recently on your IG, you have a Meet Me in the Ladies Room that you started.
Yes.
Meet Me in the Ladies Room. You discuss capsule collections and the rise of quiet luxury and building a sustainable closet has inspired people to create capsule wardrobes. In your expertise, can you please explain what a capsule wardrobe is and why it's worth the investment?
So I broke this all the way down. I simplified it all the way down to simply a capsule wardrobe is an intentional selection of interchangeable pieces. So for me, capsule wardrobes have never been my thing. Like I love fashion for the art of fashion. I'm here for the drama of fashion. I love fashion as an expression. So when I would see capsule wardrobes and people putting together capsule wardrobes, to be honest, it just bored me. And I'm just like, I was always like, yeah, I could never do that. And then I was on a live with Chi Chi from Supple Chic. And I asked her how many pieces should go in a capsule wardrobe, because that's what I always saw. It's like 5 to 10 pieces or 10 to 20 pieces. And I'm just like, I like too much change to only have 10 pieces to rotate. And so she told me that there is no limit on how many pieces can go in the capsule. The pieces just need to be interchangeable. And so that like opened up the window for me. So what I decided to do, because I got the return to work email and I had had some conversations with a coworker of mine, and she was just like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. None of my clothes fit. I don't have anything to wear. And I was like, you know what? This is a perfect time, it being winter or fall and winter, to implement a capsule wardrobe, because that'll help us cut down on, you know, finding stuff to wear. So I started putting together a capsule wardrobe. But as far as the benefits that I found so far for me, one of them, like I said, it was kind of the ease in the return to work hustle and bustle. It also allowed me to know what I have. Some of us have so many clothes that we don't know what clothes we have. So it forced me to go through my wardrobe, because I also don't believe in going out and buying a capsule wardrobe. Most of my closet besties, I know have enough clothes and potential in their closets already to create a capsule. I know you have potential in your closet.
Now go ahead, point them. Go ahead, point them elbows.
I started in my closet and I went through my closet, so it helped me know what I have. It also, for me, in the morning when I'm getting up to go to work, a lot of times it's, or the night before, it's, oh, what am I going to wear? What am I going to wear? What am I going to wear? So the capsule also cuts down on decision fatigue for me. If I know I've hung up my entire capsule in my closet, so I know I can go to this specific section of my closet, pick a top, pick a bottom, and all of them are interchangeable. So anything that I pull out will work. And then lastly, kind of what I just alluded to, is that it slows down consumerism. Season after season after season, we're like, buy, 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 buy. What's new? Buy it. What's new? Buy it. So a capsule wardrobe kind of helps us focus on the clothes that we already have and make them work the best for us.
And I definitely agree with that, because I've noticed in recent years, I've stopped doing so many hauls. You know, the hauls are very popular on TikTok, on Instagram, and you buy all these hauls of clothes and then you find yourself donating them the next season because you weren't buying to work into your existing closet. Yep. You were buying to have something new. So now I've slowed down in my buying process, and I look at my wardrobe. I'm like, okay, what am I missing, or what needs to be replaced, because I've worn it to death. And I've noticed I've started to, and one of my best friends pointed this out to me, I started wearing a lot more black. And as someone who is naturally very colorful, I'm like, why am I being so drawn to black? But black to me has, you can do so much with black, like from the details, the different textures, et cetera, et cetera. And I notice I'm building out my black section of my wardrobe more intent, specifically, instead of building out more color in my wardrobe, because I have enough of that. You brought up a lot of great points there, especially the sustainability part. We have become very wasteful with fashion, and no shade to brands like Shein, Temu, Fashion Nova. They're not, in my opinion, creating quality pieces that are going to be in your closet for 5+ years. There has been a push for brands, and we're going to talk about this because it needs to be discussed. It's been a push for brands to expand their sizing to various shapes and sizes. But many brands have yet to understand the needs of their curvy clients or limit offerings online instead of in store. As a customer and body inclusive advocate, how can brands effectively market their curvier lines or expanded lines to their target audience?
So my first thing in terms of marketing to us is to make the clothes. And we're not asking you to reinvent the wheel. The same clothes that you're making in straight sizes, make the clothes, just extend the sizes. And also to just take the risk. Like, I understand it from both sides. I understand it from the business side. And recently I saw an interview with the owner of Never Fully Dressed, I believe. And she talked about the taking the risk as a business and what costs are associated with that. But she mentioned that it's more important to them to be on the right side of history and to do what's right than the possible associated risks. So in terms of marketing, I would just say create experiences for your customer. Back when we had an Eloquii here in the DMV, one of my favorite things was that was a gathering place for us. Like we could go, we could gather, we're hanging out in the fitting rooms, we're having little personal private runway shows of our own. Like Eloquii always popped a bottle for us. Like it was an experience, and that's not something that we often get as a plus size shopper. So that's a great in-person experience. But also both you and I recently went to the Universal Standard trunk show, which if you're not going to have a brick and mortar, which Universal Standard does, but we don't have one locally, but they did a tour where they were going around and inviting their customers out. They filled a whole house with their pieces with a wide range of sizing so that if you had a question of, well, I don't know what size I wear there or how does something feel or fit, you got to go try it on. You got to go see what was available, what was coming up. That was an amazing experience. And I think that they do those kind of regularly. So even if you don't have a brick and mortar, that doesn't mean you can't reach your customer. So I think that's a good way to kind of market to us. I know you mentioned Shein, which I've kind of stayed out of the Shein battle, the Shein battle, but I don't want us to miss the fact that Shein has made billions with a B because they have served an underserved community, which is us. Now, granted, have they done it ethically? Probably not. Not so much. But I think that the issue is not the money to be made, because their model has shown us that there's money to be made. So just create the experiences. Also, I would say to fully commit. Shayla and I talk about all the time brands having a true desire to actually want to serve us. Like it can't just be throw it at the wall, see what sticks. Because then you get brands that extend their sizing by just doubling measurements. And we all have been a victim. There's a class action suit. There's a class action suit for that. So you just have to invest in the skill, because the skill is different. Like you can get 3 size 16 women and they're all shaped differently. A size 16 is not equal. So you do have to like invest in the skill, and as a company and as a brand, like you just got to take that leap. Another way I'll say is to bring us along in your journey. Like include us in your process. Stores like Forever 21, Old Navy, and I know we said we weren't going to be shady. We weren't going to be shady, but we were going to be real. So stores like Forever 21 and Old Navy. Old Navy rolled out a huge campaign.
They did.
For including plus size in store and how we would get to shop alongside our friends. And like all of this marketing went to it. Girl, wear them clothes.
We don't know.
Like they have pulled. They've pulled a lot of the larger plus sizes from in-store experience with no word, mm-hmm. like no communication, no nothing. So it's like, I get it from a business side. If you decided, okay, this is costing us too much overhead, we're having too much waste, like something, communicate that with your consumers so that we know what's going on and we don't show up in these stores looking for our section or our size, only to realize, oh, shoot, it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So same with Forever 21. We went from having these massive sections in the store, typically in the back, but
go ahead.
Look, that's for another day. But we went from having these large sections to my local Forever 21 put a small section behind the escalator, behind the escalators, to then just getting rid of it completely. And again, with no communication and no conversation. And that just doesn't feel good. And then lastly, I'll say, make sure it's what we want. Like, brands, oftentimes, that's why I said, we're not asking you to reinvent the wheel. The same stuff that we like in your straight sizes, we would like in plus sizes. It does no good to create a whole different collection for plus sizes of stuff no one asks you for. Like, the brand will remain unnamed, but as soon as I say Mickey Mouse and Skulls, people will know who I'm talking about. But we've got enough of that. So don't create an entire collection of things that no one asked you for. And then when it does not sell, turn that around and say, oh, well, the plus size consumer is not shopping, because that's not true. We just want you to make what we're asking you for, or what's on, at least stay with what's on trend.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what, to your point, Jamie, you've knocked out a few good points that I think any marketer or anyone in the comms and PR department needs to listen to. One, do your market research, right? If you have these email listservs in which you have all this contact information and data, send an email out to your customers asking them to participate in a market research study about these clothing for that brand. Two, make sure your messaging is real and inclusive. Don't just pick the plus size models from New York Fashion Week that look more like a size 8 than they do a size 14, 16, 18, 20, 20 plus. And fit the stereotypical idea of what you think a plus size body should look like. Plus size bodies are beautiful depictions of versatility. We all don't look the same. You know, some of us carry our weight in our hips. I carry my weight in my hips. Some of us carry it in our stomach. Some of us carry it in our arms. Like, we have different shapes and sizes. But when you choose a plus size model that looks just one certain way, you're also identifying and telling someone that this is what you should look like in this body type. And you're not being inclusive in your messaging. Number three, when you're rolling out these campaigns, do a rollout that feels real and authentic. Pull some of these people who have been tagging you in their content for forever to be included in the campaign rollout. Include them in the rollout. Make them part of the story. Have them tell the story of why they supported your brand before you chose to expand your sizing, and to share their favorite pieces and what they're excited about for the collection. Put their pictures up in the store. Have their pics included, you know, when you do the rollout on the racks, and say, pics by, you know, Jamie and Shayla from Plus in the DMV. Make sure it's digital as well for the audience, where they can scan to learn more, to download more information about the collection and the storytelling behind this content. But don't just slap a rack in a store and say, here you go, be happy. That's not how it works.
And put no marketing dollars.
No marketing dollars behind it. And then when you drop your plus size line, you put us on the clearance racks, and then we have to dig to find our sizes and things that we once were like, well, what happened to XYZ? Oh, it's on clearance. So now we're just being pushed to the back of the store once again and made to feel like our bodies are wrong for the way that they're naturally shaped. Okay, cool. Cool. It's all good. And you know what too, Jamie, getting into our next question, we're going to be a little shady with this one. It's fine. So, Victoria's Secret. You know I was going to ask. You know I was going to bring this up. Victoria's Secret. They were recently scrutinized for not being body positive, but now, like many brands, like we mentioned, are quietly removing the messaging from their campaigns because they're tired of being woke and inclusive. Why do you think we're moving backwards in building inclusive messaging? Like, why do you think they're now just pulling the plug everywhere and saying, we don't need this anymore, it doesn't work?
So I first want to say that you are my people because when I think of Victoria's Secret, and to be honest, when they rolled out this campaign, and I watched what they had or whatever the case may be. I laugh of that campaign. It was laughable to me. This whole rollout of, oh, now we know that beauty includes blah, blah, blah. Like, now they know, but we have to stop giving these people that level of power. Baby, we've been known. We've been telling you all that. Savage Fenty was created and showed y'all that. Y'all are late. Like, y'all spent all this money on this marketing. It's not giving what y'all thought it was going to give. So
it never gave.
Maybe to, you know, the folks on the other side, which are going to be like, oh, yay for them. Girl, goodbye. By the time y'all came along, we no longer needed that. So I just think that it's one of the many ebbs and flows of fashion, clothes and trends. They come and they go. They come around and they leave and then they come back. So I think that it's that. I think we'll always kind of be in and continue to show up. I remember, I believe it was Kelly B, that the year that they all showed up at New York Fashion Week, and by they, I mean all the plus size influencers, and oh no, this is the peak. And so now we're getting ready to go on the downslope. And I absolutely agree with that, that we've reached this peak. And, so we just have to continue to show up and continue to create and keep, you know, fighting for inclusion. We also recently had a documentary launch here in DC for Invisible Beauty by Bethany Hardison, which was, it kind of documented the same ebb and flow. Like, there was this high time of Black and brown models. And then she kind of stepped away because she wanted to do something else. And when she stepped away, it all went to crap. She had to come back to be like, oh, no, wait a minute. So I just think it's one of those ebbs and flow kind of thing. I hope some point we'll get to a place, but I think the essence of fashion in the fashion industry is this kind of exclusive members only kind of industry. So I think we'll forever fight that.
And I agree with you on that, in that there needs to be consistent representation throughout the industry. Like, I love Christian Siriano. He stays 10 toes down with body diversity and inclusivity across the board. Love him. Love that he's from the DMV. Hey, Christian. Now, when it comes to dressing curvy bodies, and I know we talked about this a little earlier in the interview, it can be expensive. I've seen my bills from Eloquy, Universal Standard, all of them. And I'm like, woo, child, that's a lot of money. But with our clothes costing more, or we spend a lot of time on various sites trying to find brands that actually follow their size chart, hint, hint, can you please share a few brands that you would recommend from low in terms of affordable to higher end?
So I'm going to push back on this just a little bit. Okay.
Go ahead.
One of my core principles of fashion, maybe, is that dressing doesn't have to be expensive, right? So I'm all for making, like we said earlier, fashion fit your curves, fit your lifestyle, but also that. But so I think brands in terms of on the lower end, and I'm going to say these are my personal highs and lows, because my high is probably not going to be your Gucci or your luxury kind of brands. Those aren't my highs. One, because Gucci doesn't make anything that fits my waist. So that's me.
It does. It makes a scarf. Able to fit.
But in terms of low, I'm always going to go Target. And I'm going to mention Amazon in this same kind of sense, is because both brands have worked really hard the last couple of years to give us access to designers. Ones that we typically either wouldn't be able to afford or are just out of our reach or out of our size range, to be quite honest. Sergio Hudson's collaboration that he did with Target, normally his collections don't go up to a certain sizing, but by his collaboration with Target, it brought that to us. The same thing with Amazon. Amazon has been doing the drop. that is giving us access and allowing several influencers to design these collections, that typically the design in the pieces is normally not stuff that we have access to as plus size bodies. Trends tend to trickle down for us. Like, it might take us a year or so to get something that's on a runway today. So by Amazon doing this, and Amazon ranging from whatever their smallest size is up to a 4 and 5X, we now get the same things that other people are having access to on time for the trend. On the higher end, I think our popular brands, that Universal Standard. I'm never going to tell you to buy a $600 white tee. My Staples is a white tee, and actually I have it in white and black tee from Universal Standard. They're incredible. So, and even though, you know, you may look at some of the pieces, even on Universal Standard, and they might be a little expensive, but baby, Universal Standard runs a $25 sale every year. Wait for it to come around. There are ways to shop some of these more expensive brands. Eloquy, we all love Eloquy, but sometimes Eloquy can get you for a $300 suit.
So, Jamie, we also have to talk about the unsung hero of getting dressed, your foundational garments. As someone who believes in, you know, having a good pair of Spanx and some shorts, you know, and a good push-up bra to keep the girls together, what are some garments people should consider when dressing for curvier bodies?
So I think this is another one of those controversial topics because, you know, you have...
I didn't mean to call it controversy.
But, you know, you have people that, you know, swear by them. And then, you know, you have some people that feel like shapewear or, you know, garments, foundational garments are kind of conforming to societal standards and pressure, blah, blah, blah. I'm like you. I prefer them. I like to feel pulled together. So I get both sides. But for me, I like to be pulled together versus snatched. Like, I just like all my bits to be in place, but I still appreciate being able to breathe. So I've tried some of the snatched garments, and I think you just have to be careful with some of those because I feel like it can quickly go down a slope to feeling like a case sausage or some of them to even like make you look pregnant. So I think it's important to I think it's important to pay attention to the detail of the undergarment. You'll see some provide like mesh on the side and on the butt. Those allow for those areas to kind of be a little more natural and relaxed and not compressed. So for those of us who are on the, you know, little butt committee, like don't squish what, you know, the little bit that we do have. So for me, my OG pieces are from Lane Bryant. And I do believe that every woman, no matter your size, should have a high waist short and a high waist brief, just at a minimum. And my daily piece is actually from Yeti.
Yes, I do love my Yeti. Yes.
Yeah. So I recently saw that they're now making shapewear for your arm. I refuse. I won't have that. But yeah, just a everyday high waist short or a high waist brief. Those are the ones that I swear by. And of course, you always need a good bra. And I'm big on, you know, being sized for your bra. Most places do that for you. You can go to a Lane Bryant or you can go to any underwear store. We have a Cherry Blossom Bridal, I believe it's called, here in Maryland, that does free fittings. And we did a event with them as well, where they got everybody fitted for their correct size. And don't feel bad, because I think the stat was like 80% of women are walking around in the wrong size bra. And I get that for several reasons. Like, once you get up to a certain size, bras are expensive. So I understand, you know, sometimes...
Girl, who are you telling?
Look, so I understand sometimes, like, making it work. But you should have key bras that actually are your actual size. So, yeah.
And I love that you share that you know, getting fitted for the right bra, being open to different foundational garments is a good way of looking at keeping your wardrobe cohesive. Mm-hmm. But what for more important for you and thinking about what's next, you've done such a great job of building this platform. You know, what do you see your platform going in the next level? Like, do you see maybe a collaboration for yourself or venturing more into the content creator space outside of your podcast and other creative work?
So in terms of, do I see a collaboration for myself? And no, I don't see it. I won't say that it's not going to happen. I'm just going to say that I don't see it for myself. And I value people who were given that gift and given that talent. And I think that you've got to have a passion for that. And I love clothes. I like to buy them. I like to wear them. I don't know that I would be as interested in actually designing them. But what I do love, I love podcasting. I love building my community. I love having open discussions. So for me, you mentioned earlier, the last meeting in the ladies' room, which is a new series that I started on Fashion Maybe, and I'm having fun with that. So we'll be leaning more into that. I know I've gotten a lot of feedback from folks wanting to participate in the conversation. So stay tuned to Fashion Maybe for that, because I have a big announcement coming about that. But yeah, I think I've always kind of teeter-tottered on fashion and podcasting and trying to find kind of where they meet and meld and in the middle. So I think I'm leaning more into podcasting. I love talking about fashion, and that will always be. But what I've found is that fashion has a purpose in my purpose, but it may not be the foundational piece of it. So I think fashion for me has always been kind of that thread that weaves us all together as women. It's been what helps me meet women. It's what helps women approach me in a room full of people. Like, one thing we can always find to talk about is, "Ooh, girl, that's cute," or "Ooh, girl, I like your outfit." So I think that'll always be a thing for me. It'll always have a purpose in my purpose. But I think I'll be leaning more into creating communities of women and creating space for us to have open and important discussion.
Well, I can't wait to see what you do. And, you know, I'm always going to support you and be like, "Okay, Jamie, I see you" with your content. And I appreciate you being a supporter of me. And also, don't forget, we got to cook up our own episode for that big event that happens every spring.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about. Absolutely. We got to get that down in the books with a few of our other folks as well. So people, stay tuned for that, because I'm thinking of some things and I like to see things come together.
Yes.
Well, what did we think? Did we enjoy it? I know you did. And, you know, full transparency, y'all, I know I say a lot of times I have my favorite people, but I am so blessed to have so many amazing people in my circle who are doing great things in their industry that I bring my favorite people from those industry spaces onto my show because they deserve to be here. So when I say someone is my favorite person, I mean it holistically, and I want to be able to use my platform to give them even more shine because they deserve that ability to be uplifted in creative spaces and have their voice broadcasted worldwide. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the podcast. We have, let's see, two more episodes before the year is up. So make sure you stay tuned for that as well. And if you want to learn more about me and my business, go ahead and visit pinkdollhousemarketing.com. You can also learn more about me and my business by following me on Instagram at pinkdollhousemarketing. To learn more about me on the personal side, you can follow me on IG at pinkdollstyle, or visit me on the TikTok, that clock app, at pinkycreates. I can't wait to chat with you soon. Okay, bye! Coffee with Yvonne is produced and edited by Yvonne Pearson. Coffee with Yvonne is created by Pink Dollhouse Marketing. You can catch the latest episodes by subscribing to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.